This morning we're going to continue our studies in the book of Matthew. We've been in the 10th chapter for quite a while, and I want to pick up a few verses there, and then we should get into the 11th chapter this morning. But we have the ministry of John the Baptist right here towards the end of this chapter. And let me see where I want to pick up. Let's go back as far as verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before, it says men. If we could read it in Greek, it has the definite article. It's the men, it's the leaders of the in Israel, the high priest, the Sanhedrin Council, the religious leaders of Israel. And so common people heard our Lord Jesus Christ gladly. But the religious crowd, they didn't appreciate him. They didn't know who he was in the first place. All they saw him as was an interloper. They had a pretty cool deal. The Roman government pretty much left them alone. They were making money. They were preaching whatever they wanted to preach. And things were pretty good. But then first of all, John the Baptist came, and he was like a voice crying in the wilderness. Yeah. And the common people went out to hear John, but the religious crowd didn't think much of John. And then when our Lord, who was 6 months younger than John the Baptist, when he started his public ministry, they certainly didn't like what our Lord had to say, because it was contrary to their traditions. Now, we have traditions under the canopy of Christianity. And when we look at the traditions, we have Christmas. And, of course, the Scripture speaks of the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, okay, how can they get it wrong? Well, they make it the wrong time of the year. Because if you understand, a few things, you understand that sheep don't fold in the wintertime. So it was arbitrary, and I've forgotten the fellow had a Greek name within the Roman system, and he said that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. And ever since he said that, it's become a worldwide tradition to celebrate the birth of our Lord on the 25th of December. But when we go to the book of Luke, we find that at the time of the birth of our Lord, the angels came, and they, the heavenly host, and they talked with the shepherds, and the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Now, if you know anything about raising sheep, unless you've got just a little patch of ground and one ewe, and you don't have a herd. But if you have a herd of sheep, generally, because it's safer to put them in a fold at night. When you put them in the fold, they're crammed in pretty tight together, and the shepherd sleeps at the door of the fold, so that the wild animals can't get at the sheep. And but they can't do that when the ewes are dropping their lambs. Pretty obvious reason. They're close together. The ewe drops a lamb. Before that lamb could get to its feet, the other sheep would trample it to death. So the scripture tells us that the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Well, sheep are born in Israel about the same time of the year that they're born here in the Willamette Valley, and that's in the spring of the year. So, Christ is known as the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, was what? Sacrifice for us. And when was the sacrifice made? It had to be a lamb of the first year. And when we go back and read the events back in the Old Testament, bring them forward into the New Testament, they would take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, examine it till the 14th day of the month. So historically, the way we celebrate Christmas, we have Christ born at the wrong time. Then we, you know, it wasn't called Easter at first, but the Roman Catholics, because as they were doing missionary work amongst the Anglo-Saxons, there was a very popular feast of the Anglo-Saxons worshiping the goddess of spring. And when the Roman Church found out, you know, these so-called converts to Catholicism, they would go back to their pagan ways at Easter or Elstra, Ostara. There's a whole bunch of different goddesses of spring with a name that you could transliterate Easter from. Okay, so was Christ, you know, was he crucified on Easter? It doesn't fit, you know. And the reason it doesn't fit is because he was, you know, the Passover was about, well, the Sabbath was about to begin. But the Sabbath that was about to begin was the Passover Sabbath. So it didn't have to be a Saturday Sabbath. So we have Good Friday, and then we have the Sabbath, Friday is Saturday is the Sabbath. Okay, you know, but when we put it all together, we find that before Christ was made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and so we have that. We call that Palm Sunday. But if you have a Friday crucifixion and a Saturday Sabbath, and you count back, well, 15th, so the 6 days before Passover, the Passover's on the 15th, it begins at sunset in the Jewish calendar. So you back count back, and if you were going to have Palm Sunday, it doesn't fit. It would have to be Palm Monday. So that doesn't fit. And then there aren't 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. You know, well, they go to all kinds of tightrope walking to produce a theory. So any part of a day is a day, and so on and so forth. But it still doesn't fit. You can, by using the any part of a day theory, you can get 3 days, but you can't get three nights. And so we have a problem, but we have a tradition. See? And the Jews, because of their traditions, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christian church, while claiming to believe in Christ, when we read in the book of John, the 12th chapter, it says that Jesus came to Jerusalem 6 days before Passover. Well, Passover is the 15th, 6 days before Passover is the 9th. So he came from Ephraim. We don't know how far south he was, but he came from the mountainous area of Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany. And when they arrived there, they had a supper for him, because they would arrive, you know, and they would go right into it. And if we figured out, he actually arrived just as the Sabbath was about to begin. They had a feast, and afterwards Mary anointed Jesus for burial. Okay. And then Judas made a big deal about that. Why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And the scripture tells us very clearly, he did this not that he cared for the poor. So this traditional thing isn't working out quite right. And then the next day he made his entry into Jerusalem. So if you have a Palm Sunday, Christ traveled from Ephraim to Jericho to Bethany 6 days before Passover. So Christ becomes a Sabbath breaker. Now, he tested the Jews when it came to the Sabbath, but, he wouldn't have traveled that distance. The distance is actually the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem and back to Bethany. That's the Sabbath day's journey. And we learn that over in the first chapter of Acts. So, the Jewish traditions were so important to them that when Christ came and he fulfilled them, you know, they didn't see him as the one fulfilling that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So, as we continue here, but whosoever shall deny me before the men, the religious men, the Jewish Sanhedrin and the priests and so forth, verse 33, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now he says, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. Now, the Jews were looking for the Messiah to come and establish the kingdom. They didn't see him coming to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They didn't see him to be Christ our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. So when we look at that then, it says, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father. Now, most of us have experienced that as Christians. You know, I've explained when I accepted the Lord as my Savior, it was after my dad had died. But with my mom, Joanne and I went to see her a year after my dad had died. And Debbie had been born. She was just, she was born in May, so she was 7 months old when we arrived in California in January. And Mom said something to me that day, and I keep repeating this, just to show you how easy it is. You know, you don't have to preach to people. You don't have to know the Bible from cover to cover. Just give an invitation. Mom said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go? Well, all of my life, and I went into the service when I was 19 during the Korean War. And so I was 21 years of age then, when I went home. And Mom just said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me? And the simplicity of that. I said, well, we came to see you. If that's where you're going to be, that's where I'm going to be. And the next day, we were in church. And to my knowledge, it was the only time the gospel had ever been preached in my presence. I'd been to a couple of services. Those Church of England Episcopalian services that they have in the military. You know, just a bunch of ritual. No gospel, I've been to church, So I went, and so to my knowledge, that was the first time in my entire life that I'd heard the gospel preached. I may have heard it as a baby because a few years, Mom had to leave her home and live with Carolyn for a few years before Dad, but she had some things that she had saved. She had a certificate of perfect attendance for Dale Andre in cradle roll. Well, I wasn't old enough to understand. So as far as I was concerned, the first time the gospel had ever been preached was the day that the Lord saved my soul. And then, of course, I didn't know he was going to call me in the ministry, but he did. And, circumstances, I've told the old same old stories again and again and again. But the Lord put me in a place where I had a TDY to you know, Eielson Air Force Base in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you. My memory's not what it used to be either. But in Fairbanks. So after we got those, we had 22 bombers. All 22 could have flown the mission, but two were spares. So we sent, 20 bombers on a nonstop flight from Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska to Okinawa in Japan. Yeah. And half of our guys went to Okinawa. The other half went to Eielson. And Curtis LeMay was the head of SAC. And he had boasted before the President of the United States that he could have the Strategic Air Command anywhere in the world in 24 hours and ready to fight. So we'd done this back in September, and then we did it again in January. When we landed, it was 55 below zero. So, it didn't make any difference what the weather was. We could go and do the job, and we did, and we got presidential citations for it. So now as we continue with this, they take the ministry of Jesus. Now, if you read the Old Testament scriptures, the ministry of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, so many things are in the Old Testament scriptures, but they're there in the sacrificial system and in types and so forth. But I turned back too far. For I'm come to set a man at variance, in verse 35, against his father, and the daughters against her mother. And what happened to the Jews that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? What happened to them? They were excommunicated from Judaism. And I can remember when Eric's cousin got married, he married a Jewess, and we were in the park over there south of the University of Oregon. And we had a group of Jews standing over here and a group of Christians standing over here, and never the twain would meet. And you talk about angry. We're just showing that marriage is a relationship instituted by God and that type of thing. But the fact that we believed in Jesus. Well, you have to understand the Jews have been persecuted in that name by the Roman Church, by the Episcopalian Church, by many churches that, in times past. And of all the people in the world that shouldn't be persecuted by the Church, it's the Jews. They're God's chosen people. Now, at the present time, most of the Jews in this world don't know Christ. There are different groups certain Jews will get saved. And it's an interesting thing about Jews. They like to maintain their Jewishness. They like to refer to Jesus not with the Greek word that we have in the New Testament, Jesus. They like to refer to him to the Hebrew word, which would be translated Joshua, it's Yeshua. And so they don't refer to Jesus as Christ. They refer to him as Messiah. And these are people that have trusted Christ as Savior. Well, we're an English-speaking people, and we have an English translation of the Bible. So why shouldn't we use the names that are in our English Bible? Because we don't speak Hebrew and we don't speak Greek, and most Jews don't speak Hebrew either. Okay, now, so we see there was going to be, because of faith. Now, of all the things that shouldn't separate us, is faith. And my situation after I was first saved, I grew very rapidly, and the Lord made it possible. After we sent those planes on that mission, I was in Alaska for two more days, I think, and didn't have a duty station. So rather than getting in the pinochle games and the poker games and all the stuff that we normally would have done, or going to town, going to the movies or something like that, I laid in my bunk, had a New Testament that Gideon's gave me. You know, you had to put it in a particular place in your footlocker. You know, and I started devouring the New Testament. You know, and I think by the time I got back to Spokane, I had read, I think I was in the Gospel of John. I'd read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know. And so then we started attending a little church in Spokane. Okay, now it says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And at various times after I was saved, I wanted my, you know, anybody that I knew that wasn't saved to be saved. I wanted them to have the eternal life that I had. I wanted them to have the peace that I had, to know that if I were to die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to depart and be with Christ is what? Is far better. But people put their hopes in all kinds of tradition and the life that they live. That's the devil's lie, that you can be like God by the life that you live. No, we can't. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So Matthew is writing, Jesus is speaking, and he says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So our allegiance should be to the Lord first, and then family comes second. You know, that's the priorities that God has given us. And he that taketh not his cross. You know, the scripture says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So a cross is a sign of a curse. And remember the Jews, when they were at Jordan, and they said, oh, if we go in the land, there's giants in the land, this and that, and all kinds of stuff, and they're afraid. And then that's why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're back there again, and they're moaning, groaning, complaining, and God sends fiery serpents into their midst. We're called fiery serpents because more than likely the Egyptian adder, and when it strikes, the poison is a very hot sensation as it goes, and it kills you pretty quickly. And so Moses was told, take and make a serpent of brass. So he was to cast a serpent and put it on a pole. You know, well, a straight pole and a serpent don't work too well. The scripture says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The cross is a sign of a curse. So we have that little symbol that nurses and doctors wear. And, basically it's a cross with a serpent on it. You know? And Jesus said to them, whosoever looks shall live. You know? Now they were moaning, groaning, complaining, and they were dying. And because of that, look, you know, because of the fiery serpent, they were being bitten and dying. Now, just look at a serpent on a cross. You know, I know were the rationalists that said, get me a snake bite kit and an anti-venom serum. You know. But look and live. That's all it takes to be saved. When we realize that we're sinners, and there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And if you want to convince yourself of that, go to the 20th chapter of Exodus and just read the Ten Commandments. Yeah. And if you can read those, especially with our Lord's interpretation, Jesus said, when he's speaking to the Jews, he that looks upon a woman to lust after in her heart has committed adultery already with her in his heart. You know. And it works the other way around too. You know, women have hormones too. And ordinarily, they're not as oversexed as men. But, you know, the bottom line is, in the age in which we live, we have many women, you know, they have lots of sex in their life, but they've never been married. Yeah. Marriage is really, you know, to produce children, but you don't produce a child every time you have an end of a relationship with your wife. It's a wonderful form of love. But people, you know, it doesn't make any difference, I guess, who you make love to. It's going to feel good, you know. And so, you know, it's the lust of the flesh and that type of thing. And lots of people, now they can't figure out whether they're men or women, you know. And I've got the solution to the problem. Take all of those that have male genitalia and put them on one, use a continent, put them on one continent. Nobody else can be there but just that type of people. Then take all of those who have female genitalia and put them on another continent. No jet airplanes before, between, no boats. You got to stay on your particular continent. What's going to happen in three generations? Now, you might not be able to figure out what sex you are, but in order to produce a child, it takes a man and a woman. You know, you can say, well, I'm both. Or what? Yeah, I mean, there's some crazy things going on in this world today. And it's just signs of the latter days. You know? And quite frankly, I don't care how people live their lives. You know, you can expect a sinner to sin. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So we're all sinners by birth and by practice. Yeah. We all need to be saved. And Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all righteousness. But the whole world operates in the lie of the devil. That is, the whole non-biblical Christian world operates in the lie of the devil. What is it? You can be like God by disobeying God, doing what you want to do. And, you know, God said the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The serpent said, oh, you won't really die, because God knows that the day you eat thereof, then you'll be like God. What did they get from that tree? They got a knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? It's morality. What are all of the religious systems of this world based upon? Every single one, and sadly, too much of Christianity, is all based upon man's moral goodness. When the Scripture says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. The only way we can be fit before God is by receiving Christ as our Savior, so that his vicarious or substitutionary sacrifice pays for our sins. Then he indwells us by his Spirit so that we can begin to understand the things of God. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So, you know, he that taketh not his cross. A cross is a sign of a curse. So, when he says to the Jews, he that taketh not his cross, he that's been cursed by the law, and that's all of you, you know, and followeth me after me, is not worthy of me. In other words, there's no salvation outside Jesus Christ. Now, the world and its, you know, touch not, taste not, feel not, or whatever, or in its so-called moral system, we're all trying to get to the same place. You may be trying, but it's not going to work unless you come by faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is God who became a man through the virgin birth, so that he could be related to man, but without the sin nature of man. And there's an interesting thing, and Dr. DeHaan wrote about this in his book, The Chemistry of the Blood. All of the blood that flows in your veins came from your father. None of it came from your mother. Okay? So, if you want to blame any But if because you're a sinner, I'm blaming your daddy. No, well, Adam ultimately was the father of us all, and he passed the sin nature to all of us by natural generation. So why did Christ have to be virgin born? So that God could be his father, so that he could be related to man through Eve. But since all of the blood that flows in our veins comes from our father, we could be born of a woman and not have a sin nature. That is if God is our father. And so God, told Mary when she was found a child of whom? Of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty important. And people mock that too, but Christ was God's son, and so he had to be God's son so that as a high priest, had to be able to satisfy God and man. Well, through the sacrificial system, Christ was portrayed in the sacrificial system, but the scripture says very clearly, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, so on and so forth, all of that you do can never take away sin. But faith in what it represents does. Okay? So the Jews of the Old Testament were saved by faith in Christ, but projected to when he would come to this earth. And we're saved by faith in Christ by looking back. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me. So then, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus promised the Jews his Holy Spirit. And then later in that same chapter, he says, and I and my Father, we will also come and make our abode within you. So every believer in Jesus Christ is indwelt by a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we can communicate with him. And Jesus said, where I am, there will you be also. We can never, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can never be separated from God. And Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do Christians sin? Absolutely. Yeah. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Just because God saved us, he didn't take away the sin nature that we got from Adam. So, we come into this world thinking we're always saying, oh, that's not fair, or things of that sort. Based upon our concepts of right and wrong. But God's concepts of right and wrong are expressed in the law, and it demands perfection. And whosoever continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, and he's lost. He's unsaved. So I can't perform the law. You can't perform the law. But when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he performed it for us. And because he lives, we shall live also. So it says, Jesus says to them, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That's the Father. And he that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man. Well, there's none righteous but one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So when the only righteous man that ever lived on this earth is Jesus Christ. When we talk about Mary, and the Roman Catholics talk about Mary as if she's sinless. No, she's a sinner just the same as you and me. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That includes Joseph. That includes Mary. You know, that includes all of the sons that were born to them. We're all born dead in trespasses and sin because we're all related to Adam. And so all of the brothers of Jesus were related to Adam. But Christ was only related through his mother. And the blood wasn't transferred by the mother. Blood's transferred, in the process of impregnation and so forth. The genes of the father produce the blood within the infant child. And if those blood streams mix, you've got the baby in the womb, the mother's organs operate. She eats, nourishes herself. And then as she's nourished, that passes by osmosis through the placenta into the baby. It nourishes the baby, and the waste from the very baby then passes through the placenta back into the mother's organs and then is processed by the mother and dumped as urine or feces. Pretty amazing process, but their bloodstreams never mix. And that says, a woman could bear a child that would be sinless. So it was Mary was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So now, Jesus speaking to Jews under law, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. He went outside it, Eric. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, Jesus makes it very, very plain. That the sacrificial system, the law, the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, how many people will be justified before God? No flesh. No one. Okay. Why did the Lord give the law? The law was a schoolmaster, an attendant slave that had the responsibility of training the children. Okay. So we have to be trained from what we think naturally. That if I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven. No. There's none good. How many? Not one is the way it's translated, or not even one. So none of us can be justified before God by the lives that we live. We're all guilty before the law. So Christ came through the virgin birth so that he could be related to us and be of God. So there's one mediator between God and man. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. So he can satisfy God because he's God. He can satisfy man because he's man. And then the scripture shows us through the sacrificial system, which was given to the Jews without the shedding of blood, is what? No remission, no payment. So it's impossible for you to pay for your sins. It's impossible for me to pay for my sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. But it's only effective to those who believe that he did it for them. Okay? So that's what happened when Mom invited me to church that day. Gospel was preached. Spirit of God was at work. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. For what? Was I any better 1 second after I was saved than I was 1 second before I was saved? No. I still had a sin nature. I still had that nature in thee to live like Adam or like every other man that's come down the pike. And what does it say about that? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we cannot get to heaven by the lives that we live. That's the devil's lie. We rarely ask this question. Eve was tempted by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. And if you go online, you'll find out there are 4,000 different moral systems in the world. Vary one from the another by sometimes very little. But there's a total of 4,000 of them. What are they all based upon? What man can do for God, not what God has done for man. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, the scripture also says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Remission is a payment, or the forgiveness by a payment. Okay? So for my sins to be remitted or forgiven, taken away from me, and it's all of them, the Spirit of God had to quicken the Word of God to my heart so that I could believe that Christ died for my sins. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. But when we preach the Word of God and the Spirit of God quickens it or makes it alive so that you can understand for me to have any heavenly inheritance, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for me. That happened to me, what day was it? It was, I think it was January 10th, 1951. No, not 51. 54. Yeah, long time ago. Okay, let's continue. We got about a minute or so to go here. So, Jesus finished talking. Now we're changing the subject and we're going to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, by this time, has been in prison because, the Lord said, that it was not lawful, or John the Baptist, I should say, has said that Herod, he had all kinds of women, and that he was guilty of adultery. Now, it's interesting. Herod was Edomian, or of Esau. But there's only one Savior in the world, whether you're Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're a Muslim, whatever you call yourself, there's still only one way into heaven, and it's not by the devil's lie. That you can get to heaven by the life that you live. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man come, he shall be saved. Okay? So that happened to me back in January of 54. Yeah. And prior to that, I was just like every other heathen in this world. And, and the truth of the matter is, we don't lose our sin nature when we accept the Lord as our Savior. We just recognize, I'm a sinner and Christ died for me. And His righteousness isn't mine, it's charged to me as if I had performed it. So that's where so many people under the canopy of Christianity and all the religions of the world have one thing in common. It's all based upon what man does for God. But the one way into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ. And so our entrance into heaven is not based upon what we've done for God. It's based upon what God has done for us. He became a vicarious sacrifice. He alone fulfilled the law. He alone fulfilled all righteousness. And He alone then died as a ransom for sin. And then He alone raised Himself from the dead and gave the promise to us, if you believe on him, I give unto you eternal life, and ye shall perish when? Never. So, salvation is of the Lord. Now, John testified to who our Lord was. He was the forerunner. If the Jews had received John the Baptist as Elijah, you know, Jesus said if you'd receive it, he was Elijah. But no, he was John the Baptist because God in his omniscience knew that they wouldn't receive the ministry of John the Baptist. Elijah and will come during the Great Tribulation period upon the earth and be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, that salvation is in Christ. And there is no other way into the presence of God and no form of morality into the presence of God. It's a simple act of faith. And if we are a child or a fool and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot err therein. So bless the word of God to the hearts and minds of those who hear it who are not saved, and for those of us who have already received you as Savior, to cause us to rejoice in what you have done through us or done for us through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the ultimate promise, because I live, you shall live also. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.